Well, I'm delighted to have the opportunity to talk about this, but I'm going to tell you that we're a little bit ignorant, even though we are a church that are pro-Israel. We're a little bit ignorant of what's going on. Israel apparently is not. They are very concerned about the change in America, not only in our government, but also in our churches across this great land. I have here just this week, Christian anti-Semitism. Can Christians handle the question, who is the greatest threat to Israel? It goes on and mentions Iran and the terrorists and all of that, none of whom are the answer to the question. The greatest threat to Israel are churches that do not believe that Israel deserves to have its own land and nation in our world. Churches who adhere to a philosophy called replacement theology, that the church has somehow replaced Israel, that Israel doesn't deserve what they've gotten. Well, neither do we. Christian anti-Semitism. Let me just read a couple of things. The constant referencing to Palestine by Christian TV and radio personnel, even by so-called Christian scholars and theologians, is establishing in the minds of ordinary Christian people that God's done with Israel. No, he's not. As a matter of fact, since 1948, the establishment of Israel, and now 65 years to celebrate it, there are plenty of Christian leaders around who don't know what to do now because they've been telling people for years that God is done with Israel and he's not doing any prophecies for Israel. They say it boldly and bluntly, but now they're getting a little nervous because God is continuing to fulfill the prophecies of his word in Israel, and now they realize that their view hasn't worked. So when is it going to work? Christian organizations that have become anti-Semitic believe they're doing the work of Christ. A Christian organization such as Sabeel, S-A-B-E-E-L, an acrostic for an organization that is permeating church after church after church in North America. They almost destroyed Canada until Canada got a prime minister, Mr. Stephen Harper, who is pro-Israel. We could use one. Now, what we have in Sabeel is very dangerous, and it's all over the place. They have a headquarters in Jerusalem. They are permeating all the denominations, getting money for what they believe. They have turned anti-Zionism into religious commitment in America's churches without the people really understanding. Wow. To let you know a little bit about what they think, their recent magazine, which is called Cornerstone. And if you didn't know about Sabeel, you would think it was really good. Listen, the only cornerstone I know about is Jesus Christ my Lord. But it's interesting, they equate what's happening in the Gaza Strip with Hamas with Christ being nailed on the cross. In their last issue, they said the West Bank is the same thing as Christ's crucifixion. They are saying that Israel is repeating the sins of the past Israelites as detailed in the Old Testament, and they don't deserve anything. Land, nation, or promise of blessing. They say that belongs to the church, not to Israel. I don't want to read any more of what they believe. If anyone wants to pick it up afterwards, wait till after the third service is over because they got to look at it again. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 105. You say, wait a minute, most guys go to Genesis. I know. I'm deliberately avoiding it right now. Why? Because all those who are attacking Israel are saying that we get all our information from the Torah, the first five books, and that we are now, listen carefully, they have it in print all over the place, we are not under law, but under grace. So instead of understanding that statement, which is in the book of Romans, instead they misinterpret it and misguide people into thinking that what that means is you don't pay any attention to the first five books of the Bible. By the way, that's the same way they're getting away from creation doctrine and now teaching evolution even in our churches and in our Christian schools. Hey, we're in trouble, you know that? And we don't have a president helping us right now. He went to church on Easter Sunday. Yay. He, his wife, and his two children came out and decided to participate in the Easter egg hunt. And said publicly, Easter is such a wonderful occasion for our kids to find out about bunnies and eggs. Look, I don't care what you think about what I'm going to say. If I lose my teeth, I'm going to gum it to death. We're not in bunnies and eggs. We're in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not reading the law, not because I don't believe it. I believe it's absolutely as vital today as it was when it was written. But I'm 1,000 years later down at the time of King David. And let's see them escape this. Psalm 105, beginning at verse 6. You have your Bible open? O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant. Now, I want you all to say it. I just want you to hear it, the next word. He hath remembered his covenant. Not bad, but you'll get better here in a moment. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Which covenant he made with Abraham, his oath unto Isaac, confirmed the same unto Jacob, for a law and to Israel, for what kind of a covenant? Everlasting. Saying unto thee, I'll give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance. Folks, the land of Canaan is bigger, was bigger, than Israel has today. But don't worry about it. There's one coming, a seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is going to give all the land that God promised to Israel and show the entire world that he meant what he said and he'll never go back on his word. At Hope for Today radio broadcast, we receive many questions every week concerning our support of the nation of Israel, as though something we're doing is wrong. Now, from time to time, we try to deal with these questions, but always from the standpoint of what the Bible says. Our motto is the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. We're not interested in the political issues of our day, even when we mention them, to confront them. Israel doesn't do everything right, and we have never said so. And I believe personally the nation is suffering greatly from the lack of repentance and faith in the Lord God of Israel. They're following America instead of God. And I want to say thank you, Prime Minister Netanyahu, who just a month ago stood up in front of the Knesset with boos and yells at him and said, let's stop criticizing the Messianic Jews. They are our people. He said, they think they have 10,000. Our studies show they have 25,000. They think they only have 100 Messianic congregations. They already have 220 congregations. And he said, I've been told by our military leaders that the greatest fighters are Messianic Jewish believers. He said, so I want you to know that this nation needs to get back to the Bible. That's why I am opening my home for all of you in the Knesset to attend every Saturday evening after the Shabbat, and we will study what the Bible has to say. We will not discuss politics. We're going to study the Bible for what it says. He went on the Voice of Israel that night. I had a chance to hear it. And Netanyahu said, I want every Jewish home to have a home Bible study and to study the Bible. He said, it's our textbook in our schools, but it's also our textbook for life and our future. We have no future without the God of the Bible. Israel is a product of His creation, His sustaining grace, and He is the only one who will determine what will happen to Israel in the future. God bless him. There are a lot of people trying to get rid of him. I thought it was amusing. I really thought he was going to have a new government and get out. But you know, God has a sense of humor. So all the guys who really do read the Bible, the Orthodox, they are against him. And they're trying to bring the government down. Instead, they are out now, and he has the strongest coalition of government Israel has ever had. They're now calling him king. And I love the way he answered that. He said, there's only one king, and it's King Mashiach. It's a king Messiah. That's the only one we have. God bless him. Not every person in the nation of Israel, by the way, is appreciative of our support. Not every Jewish person who may be a neighbor or a friend or is attending today agrees with what I'm going to say. We already know that. I say in their defense, I understand. They remember all too well what happened in Europe. As the evangelicals of Europe refused to take a stand, replacement theology dominated their churches, and Hitler seemed to be an answer. The tragedies of the Holocaust under Hitler have not been forgotten. You know, there are a lot of things about Israel people don't know. One is they care about disabled people more than any nation on earth. I don't know if you know this or not, but every year on Holocaust Day, which was just a week ago, on that Memorial Day, Israel fills up a plane with disabled children and adults and sends them to the place in Europe where they're celebrating the day. You see, Hitler said, if they don't look and act like us, then get rid of them. Hitler got rid of all these disabled children, had them slaughtered in his presence, thought he was doing the work of God. Israel's answer, they say human life is sacred from the moment. Are you ready for this? I hope you are. Sacred, human life is sacred from the moment of conception in the womb. Until the oldest person who can't walk in our country, we are for life. It's difficult for Jewish people to forget the horrors of the Inquisition and the terrible atrocities of the so-called Christian Crusades in the Middle Ages. A Jewish man in our neighborhood was really upset when I told him I was going to the Harvest Crusade. I've already talked to them. I think you ought to drop the word crusade and find something else. Harvest festival, whatever you want. But just understand that all the Jewish people here can't stand the word and they remember what it represented. There's a great deal of confusion about Jewish people as to who we are. I've had several Jewish people ask me, what is Jack Hibbs like? I said, well, he has a real serious problem in his life. They all looked, said, really? What is it? You know, Jews love the scandals. I said, it's very serious. He's one of the most pro-Israel pastors in the United States. Really? Yes, really. He's willing to stand up for it. Not many pastors are. God bless him. Jews don't understand. Is everybody a Christian who calls himself that? No. There are Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, traditional Protestant denominations, evangelicals, fundamentalists, cultists, and now many Jewish messianic congregations, just to make the Jews more confused. There are the beliefs of those committed to replacement theology. They believe the church has replaced Israel in God's prophetic program. No wonder Jewish people are suspicious of so-called Christian support. The question is, what does the Bible say? Our ministry is committed, as yours, to the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. I'm going to give you today 12 reasons why we should support the nation of Israel. Now, you'll have to know these and pass a test before we let you out. No, I'm kidding. But that'd be good. Get these into your heart. Talk about them with people. I see anger and hostility all the time. Just hang in there. Be sweet and smile before you tell them you're going to hell. Okay? Seriously, let's find out what God says. Why should I support Israel? Number one, because Israel is the most frequently mentioned subject in the Bible next to the Lord himself. Nothing is greater than Israel, mentioned 2,566 times. Very few Christians have ever read that entire list. It would be good that you do. Get a concordance, see the whole list of them, and go over every one of them. Number two, the second reason is because God has promised to bless all those who do. Amen? Amen. Abraham Lincoln was blessed. Did you know he was pro-Israel? Harry Truman was blessed. He got elected even though no one said he could. And the whole cabinet was against him, and so was Congress. But he had read the Bible. And that cigar-smoking Baptist guy, he knew what the Bible said. And we know his memory now. Lyndon Johnson, I heard he and Kennedy, I was there. I was there to hear their arguments that they would never run with each other, which of course they did. Lyndon Johnson, after the assassination of Kennedy, many people blaming Johnson. And everybody in the Christian world thought, he's the meanest, most awful mouth person we've ever had as president. But did you know he's also one of the most pro-Israel presidents we've ever had? That he himself and his wife paid for over 500 people out of Europe to escape the Nazis and brought them all the way down to Galveston, Texas, and then went and bought them homes to live in. Yeah, Lyndon Johnson. Some of you are going to say, I didn't know you were a Democrat. I'm not. Oh, you're a Republican. Not necessary. You see, in California, you can write in your own candidate. I've been doing it for years. Jesus Christ. Nobody calls and wants my vote. God said in Genesis 12:3, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. No nation will get away with it. You turn your back on Israel, God will bring his curse on you. History is replete with that fact. Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. I want to prosper, don't you? You know, God is a God of miracles. Your pastor and I are both on hischannel.com. And whether you know it or not, they're now broadcasting all over the world. Jack's on Monday night, I'm on Tuesday night. And it's live. And both of us are a little stunned. It's bigger than Fox News, even in Southern California. It's the largest TV outlet we have. And by the way, Trinity Broadcast isn't even on the list. You see, I believe God is going to bring his judgment even on Christian enterprises that refuse to take a stand. Thank God TBN does once in a while. His channel's being blessed all over the world. All over the world. You know, the night when we tested it, I was here, Jack was here, others. I was the first speaker. I spoke on Israel. Jack was second. Do you know that night? It was a Friday night right here. Do you know how many people were listening? Jack told me over 12 million. I said, Jack, that can't be. You mean 12,000? He said, no, 12 million. All the guys were in the back. They had their plasma TVs all across that backstage. I went back there. I could hardly get a guy to stop. They were recording so many hits from all over the world. Over 5 million out of China, over 2 million out of India. The fact is, God is getting his word out. God said, flat out, he will bless those who bless his people. He will curse him who curses them. Number three, why should I support Israel? Because God has chosen Israel out of all nations. Now, there are a lot of people that don't like this. I understand that. The Jewish people don't like it either. They often say to me, why doesn't he choose somebody else? We've had enough trouble. You may not like this fact, and you may seek to criticize it. But the Bible's very clear. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. So we know that no Jews ever sinned. You are listening, aren't you? No. Jews and Gentiles both sin. So what does it mean when God calls them a holy people? The word holy means separate. God separated a group of people. I've had folks say to me, oh, you mean the short, fat guys that push and shove on the subways of New York? Hey, those short, fat guys have won the European basketball championship over and over again. No, you better think again. They come from all nations of the world. Then who's a Jew? You aren't going to like this at all. One thing is if you're really Jewish and want to be a Jew, you're going to have to eat the diet that nobody really likes. Oh, my goodness. Jews even sneak bacon on the side. And if you ask them, hey, isn't that pork? And they say, you must be a Gentile. We cook the sin out of it. It's not just diet. You say, well, you got to be circumcised. So all those who are circumcised are in the in group. Wrong. There's over 1 billion in the world, Muslims and others, who have been circumcised, and they are not Jews. And besides, we have not read the Bible carefully about circumcision. Even the New Testament says it doesn't profit a dime if there's nothing happening in our heart. Deuteronomy told us we needed our heart circumcised. We need the foreskin of our awful, sinful attitudes removed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The fact is, circumcision isn't it either. I don't care what rabbinical Judaism says. He who is a Jew, Paul said it correctly, he who is a Pharisee and the son of one said, he who is a Jew is one inwardly in his heart. It's because you believe what God said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's because you put your trust in that descendant who will bless the entire world. We call him Jesus. Yeshua, Yehoshua's formal Hebrew name. He's the only Savior there is who can save us from sin, death, and hell. God chose him. You'll be a holy people, separate. The Lord has chosen you to be a special people unto himself. Watch out. Above all people that are on the face of the earth. Isaiah 41:8, thou art Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, the Messiah is talking. I have called thee by my name, I love this, thou art mine. Isaiah 44:1, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. I fully support the nation of Israel because God has chosen them out of all nations of the world. Some Christians tell me, well, you only mean those who believe, don't you? First of all, who really is a believer? Boy, has that become a confusing question, hasn't it? In Israel, they're the only ones still using the Bible as their only textbook in school. So what were you saying about believers again? No, what we mean is not all of them have come to believe in the identity of the Messiah. Well, do we not also understand that the people that God brings back to the land are coming back in unbelief? And what God is going to do is pour out His Holy Spirit on them when they are inhabitants of Jerusalem and in the land, and they will look on Him whom they pierce and mourn for Him as one mourns for an only son. Have we forgotten what God is going to do? Number four, I support Israel because God has identified Himself with Israel and no other nation on earth. I have not read one verse in the Bible that says He's the Lord God of Chino Hills or America or England or Brazil or China or Russia. But 108 times He calls Himself the Lord God of Israel. Over 200 times He calls Himself the God of Israel. 31 times in Isaiah alone, the Messiah is called the Holy One of Israel. The Bible never identifies God with any other nation except Israel. Please don't get mad at me. Just read your Bible. Number five, I support Israel because God, in the Bible, tells us not to harm them. You say, where is that? Well, the reason we don't know where it is because television preachers have been using it wrongly for years. What am I talking about? We read out of Psalm 105, verses 6 to 11. Go down to verse 13. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, He reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. I can't tell you how many times I've heard speakers on TV say that you better not criticize us, no matter what we say, because God said, don't touch my anointed. What a misinterpretation that is. It doesn't refer to any speaker on television or radio or in the pulpits of America. The statement is referring to Israel. And so many of them are constantly criticizing Israel and doing the exact wrong that this Bible is talking about. Don't touch mine anointed. People say He's talking about the Messiah there. No, He's not. He's talking about Israel. Israel, even in unbelief, could be anointed by God, of course. That He has a plan and a purpose and He has chosen them and says to the rest of us, watch out. Don't touch my people. Number six, why do I support Israel? Because God has a special love for Israel. Don't you get tired of hearing people say, God loves everybody alike? That's a politically convenient statement, which is not true, by the way. God loves everybody the same. No, He doesn't. You haven't read your Bible. First of all, His Son is more loved by God, the Father, than all of us put together. This is my beloved Son. I don't mind. I want Jesus to be exalted. So that's a blessing to me because I have a believing heart in what the Bible teaches. But to say that God loves wicked people just like He does those who believe in Him, that's a lie. You have a giant contradiction. Why? Because the Bible says God hates the workers of iniquity. Of course He loves and hates. That's His nature. We were made in His image and after His likeness. And because we blow it and corrupt it does not mean the facts are not there. The Bible says God so loved the world. Yes, He did. Why? Because He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him, not that all of them will believe in Him. No, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Deuteronomy 7:8 says of the chosen nation of Israel, from the words of God Himself, it's because the Lord loved you. You mean God loves Israel more than other nations? Yes, he certainly does. In Isaiah 63:7, I want to mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel. He bestowed on them according to his mercies. He's doing what he wants to do. And Jeremiah 31, what a classic passage. God says, I'll be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. The people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have no problem in applying that to our lives. But if you want to interpret the Bible accurately, that statement was made about Israel. God has a special love for Israel. Never make a mistake about that. That's why I will support Israel. Number 7, because God has given her a land that he calls his own land. That land doesn't belong to the United Nothing. What's the matter with, the United Nations? What's the matter with us? That land belongs to God, and he says so. Leviticus 25:23. God laid out the dimensions of the land he gave to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Genesis 17:7-8, it goes all the way from the river of Egypt, the Euphrates, or river of Babylon, Euphrates, all the way to the river of Egypt, the Nile. Israel doesn't even have that land. They will one day. God calls the gift of this land an everlasting covenant, and it includes all the land of Canaanite, the great Canaanite empire, which is no more. Number 8, why should I support Israel? I love this, because God will never forsake her. Never. I confronted a major radio broadcaster who said that God has forsaken Israel. He did it back at the invasion of Israel by Rome, and the church is now the recipient of that love. I saw him down at breakfast the next morning. I sat down with him and I said, you aren't going to like what I'm going to say to you. He said, I already think I know. I said, the Bible teaches that God will never forsake Israel. He will never turn his back on her. He has promised he'll never forsake them no matter what. It's not dependent on their performance. He said, they don't deserve it. I said, neither do you. It's based on the immutability of God's promise. He will be faithful to them even though they are unfaithful to him. And all of us know that to be the truth. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 41:17, I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Isaiah 49:13-16, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He'll have mercy on his afflicted. Zion said, the Lord has forsaken us. My God has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I will never forget you. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. Isaiah 54, verse 7 and 8. For a small moment, God said, I forsook you, but with great mercies I will gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 89. I love this passage. Psalm 89. When people say that God has forsaken Israel for what they have done, they haven't read Psalm 89 lately. Begin at verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, and of course they've done that. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, they've done that also. Then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes, and God has judged them. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. God will never forsake Israel. Number 9, why do I want to support Israel? Because God is going to destroy all nations who attack her and try to destroy her or hurt her. He's going to destroy them all. If there's ever a reason to support Israel, this is it. You know, I forgot I was going to send this to our Secretary of State, John Kerry. I've tried with Obama, but they don't answer. Isaiah 41:11-12. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee, God said, shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught or nothing. Isaiah 66:15-16. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his angry with fury, his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Zechariah 12:9. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Zechariah 14:3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Look, even our secular world says the last battle is the battle of Armageddon, and they've made movies about it. But they don't give us the correct picture from the Bible. The final battle of all human history, as we now know it, will bring the Messiah of Israel to destroy all the nations of the world that gathered to attack Israel and blame her for why we don't have world peace. I like Sean Hannity. Good-looking dude. He's very pro-Israel. But he blew it last week. He said, we have got to bring peace to this. Excuse me, Sean. It's going to get worse than it is now. But I assure you, there's one coming who will bring peace. He's the Messiah of Israel. He is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of his father David. Number 10, why do I support Israel? Because God is going to restore Israel to her promised land. God's not done with Israel. Deuteronomy 30:4-5. If any of thine be driven out into the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And he convincingly will do that by Tuesday of this week. You say, what are you talking about? I already know what they're going to do on Tuesday of this week, on the Independence Day. They will announce that we now have over 8 million living in Israel. 1 million more than we used to say. And 185 countries have Jews living in Israel. God said all countries. Well, there's only 193. I know Verizon has that billboard that says you can hear Verizon in 220 countries. Well, there are not 220. There's only 193. So I don't know what Verizon is thinking, but you've got to hand it to them. You've got a lot of vision. What will happen when all 193 have a Jew living in Israel? The Bible's answer is clear. The Messiah will be here. If I were you, I'd get my bags packed. We're going home soon. Isaiah 43:5-7, fear not, I'm with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east, from the west. I'll say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that's called by my name. I've created him for my glory. I have formed him, yeah, I've made him. Jeremiah 32:37-38. I'll gather them out of all countries. I'll bring them again into this place. I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people. I will be their God. Ezekiel 36:24. I'll take them from among the Gentile nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Amos 9:15. I'll plant you upon that land, and they shall no more pull you up out of the land which I've given you, saith the Lord thy God. Yes, I support Israel. The Jewish people, according to the Bible, will return to the land in the end times and become a nation in one day, which has already happened. According to Jesus, they will retake the old city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Already happened, June 1967. According to the Word of God, spectacular agricultural development will occur and give evidence to the whole world that the Messianic age is about to come. In terms of trees, there will be more trees in Israel than any other similar piece of land in the world. That's already happened. They will also export fruit around the world more than any other nation, including ours. They're already doing that. They will also export flowers. That's what's making Quito, Ecuador, the flower center of the world, upset, because Israel is not only sending them, but they found out ways to keep them looking good. So they're now in our malls. Listen, folks, nothing we say will ever stop what God is doing. He's restoring the land. Does that mean they're becoming believers? No. Are they going to become believers? There's a day coming when the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon that nation, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the nation of Israel, will look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. In that day, there'll be a fountain open to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for cleansing from sin. When people say, is it a fulfillment of prophecy that Israel has gone back to the land in unbelief? Although you need to define unbelief. What you mean is that they haven't believed in the Messiah that we know is mentioned in the Bible. Well, then, is it a fulfillment of prophecy to go back to the land? Absolutely. J. Vernon McGee, dear friend of mine for many years, he had his Orange County Bible study in my church. We were friends. But I heard him say that Israel has to believe before it's a fulfillment of prophecy. I was out to dinner with him and I said, Dr. McGee, I need to talk to you about something, and you're such an older man and you've studied the Bible longer than I have. He said, David, say what you want to say. I said, well, you said that Israel has to believe before they go back to the land to be a fulfillment of that aliyah, that return. That's right. I said, that's not true. He said, well, this is a confrontation. I said, yes, sir, I love you. I love your teaching. I love to listen to you. I love your wisdom. But, sir, you are wrong. I said, do you believe Ezekiel 39:29 and Zechariah 12:10, where God says he's going to pour out the Spirit on Israel and they're going to turn to him in faith? How can he do that until they go back? He said, now, don't get excited. You don't need to preach. It's just you and me talking. I said, well, Dr. McGee, I believe God can bless your ministry greater than ever before. I know God's blessing it now, but God's going to bless it more than you ever dreamed. And my friends, in the last 6 years of his life, he died at age 86. In the last 6 years of his life, I saw the blessing of God poured on that man as his broadcast went around the world. It is still the number one radio network in the entire world. You understand? He all of a sudden saw. Well, of course, that going back to the land in unbelief has to be a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I said, yes, sir, it is. Number 11, why do I support Israel? Because God, believe this. A lot of people it blows them away. God's going to come and dwell in the midst of Israel. How? I don't know, but he did it before. A cloud by day, a fire by night. I don't know how he's going to do it. But you see, the Bible teaches it in a very neglected passage. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, the Messiah says, I come, I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord, Yahweh. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. I'll dwell in the midst of thee. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Wow. And number 12, and finally, I believe in supporting Israel because God will bring salvation, according to the Bible, to the whole world through the Messiah of Israel. I've asked in many places where I speak, Canada, the United States, and even overseas, I've asked people, do you believe that people have to believe that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel in order to be saved? They always say no. No, man said, I've been a preacher for years. And he said, all they have to do is believe in Jesus. I said, that's got to be wrong. He said, why? Well, there are thousands of guys down in Mexico named Jesus, and they can't save you. Who are we talking about? The Bible says in John 20, 30, and 31, many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in believing that, you'll have life through his name. Listen to me carefully, friends. There are plenty of people sitting in our churches, good people, who believe that they, because they agree with most of what's coming out of the pulpit, that they're somehow in the in group. Jesus says the majority of people, when he comes, say all the right words, but they've never been born again. Wow. The Bible says that Israel will be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. The Messiah in Isaiah 45 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. It is very, very clear over and over again in the Bible, there is no other solution. In Acts we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name among men, given among men, whereby we must be saved. The Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You don't save yourself, and neither does your faith save you. All the time, people say to me, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My dear friends, the word faith is a feminine noun in Greek. And the little pronoun in front of it is not feminine, it is masculine singular. In other words, faith is not the gift of God in that passage. Then what is he saying is the gift of God? The opening phrase, which is a masculine phrase, a clause, having been saved by grace, that is not of yourself. Listen, friends. Faith is believing what God says about Jesus, not adding to it or take away from it. I believe exactly what it says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want to be born again? You want to be sure of it? Then right now, quietly in your own heart, though nobody on the same row where you're sitting knows what you're saying, but you know, and you are saying with a heart bent towards God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel and the only one that will save me from sin, death, and hell. I commit my life and my future to him alone. You don't save yourself. It's not your great activity for the Lord. It's not your great faith or your ability to believe it. Faith is resting in what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. If I ask you, do you believe in that chair? And you'd say, well, sure, I've sat in many of them. But you are not using saving faith until you sit down in it. You entrust yourself to the thing you say you believe in. In this illustration, the chair is Jesus Christ, our Lord. It isn't you believing these wonderful things. You know, I find it really hard to believe. I'm doing my best. Well, give it up. You don't need to try anymore. You just believe what the Bible says about him. That's what the Bible says. God bless you, and let's pray. Father in heaven, the world is filled with a lot of confusing statements about the gospel. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to understand that there is no gospel apart from Jesus Christ. He's the center of it all. He's the one we are trusting for what he's already done. God, I don't know the hearts of these people, but you do. You know how many came into this meeting, maybe very involved in church, but yet in their hearts are not sure. They don't know if they died today that they'd be in heaven, even though the Bible says absent from the body and present with the Lord. God, I pray that you'd bring to them conviction by your Holy Spirit and a willingness in their hearts to commit themselves. You said it's with the mouth we confess it, but with the heart we believe it. God, please help them to turn to you before it's too late. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you know something's wrong, let me give you a little place to start. It's not everything, but it's a great place to start. Right now, wherever you're sitting, no matter who's beside you or what they think about it, right before the Lord, right now, you know you need to settle it. Lift your hand up to him and say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Yes, 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 all over the audience. I believe he's the Messiah of Israel and is the only hope to save me. Yes, yes, many over here to the right and down here and way in the back. And right where you are, you can settle this. We got folks over here to my left too, many of you. God bless you. Does raising my hand say I'm saved? No. Man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart. God knows what's inside of you. And if right now, talking to him, no one needs to know on either side of you who you're talking to, say, Lord, I need to settle this. I do believe that what the Bible says about Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the Messiah. He died for my sins and he rose again from the dead and he's coming back. It's obvious. I want to be ready. Father, I want to thank you for all these folks, for their courage to just right now lift their hand to you and say, God, that's me. I pray, Lord, that you will bring them assurance through your word. Help them, Lord, to get to a Bible as soon as they can and find out what it is that Jesus said we're supposed to do to be sure that we will be in the kingdom of God forever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.